That is so good just to think about how God has used this building. Even in recent years, we've been able to capture some space and see God use this building as a tool for us in the mission of making disciples of all ages of people as we seek to live and love like Jesus together. And so just wonderful to see how God has been doing that and bringing vision to life here at Calvary for almost 50 years, but even just in the last 10 to 12 years, seeing what God has done in bringing those tools and the opportunities to touch more lives. You know, in that video and in some of the stuff we're going to talk about today, we will mention some numbers and percentages and things, but all of this is about people, and every number represents a human life, someone who Jesus loved, for whom Christ died, and we're called to minister to them. And I'm just reminded about how many people over the years and their response to God and who He is have invested their time and their energy and their dollars in the ministry here at Calvary. If you're part of the Calvary family, you consider Calvary your church, we'd encourage you to, even as you worship through song and we worship together in one voice today, we need to recognize that part of worship is giving back to God a part of that which He's given to us financially. And so we give in the offerings. Jesus Himself in the Sermon on the Mount talked about that what we do with our money reflects what's really important to us. In Matthew 6:21, He said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And all that God has done in bringing vision to life has come through His people responding with all that they are, even including their financial investments in His kingdom. And so I'd urge you to give and to give to the glory of God to make a difference in our world. You can give by going to calvarywestlake.org/give. That's how you can give your offerings today. You can give at the silver boxes that are in the doorways and in the lobby. They're safe, secure boxes. You can give cash and checks in those. And you can also give through the digital iPads that are available in the lobby. You can give through the Calvary app. Thank you for your generosity. What God has done over the years is people being generous as they respond to God's generosity and grace to them. Today, we're going to be looking at this little brochure that Pastor Michael mentioned, but we're also going to be looking more specifically at Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to open your Bibles or you want to go to the Bible app on your mobile device, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 12, looking at three verses, verses 1, 2, and 3 of this incredible chapter of God's Word. As you're turning there to that passage, I'm going to read it in just a moment, but I want to tell you how excited I am that we get to celebrate 25 years in this building. And on Palm Sunday weekend, as Pastor Brian and I will be joined by Pastor Larry DeWitt, our founding pastor, Pastor Jason McMaster, our executive pastor who grew up here, is going to be interviewing us. And I think he has one of the toughest tasks of anybody in the month of March is to interview the three of us during that sermon time. We're going to be sharing our hearts and pointing folks to the work of God here at Calvary over these years, especially these last 25 years on this campus, and God using this tool. Now, I'm going to ask you, as I read Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I've had you turn there because we'll be going there and looking at these verses in just a few minutes. But I want you just to close your eyes, and the writer of Hebrews does what the Apostle Paul does and kind of sets up the life of the Christian, the journey of faith, as a race to be run. There are voices in the crowd, in the stadium, in the stands, cheering us on. We're to run faithfully with our eyes on Jesus, not being distracted by other stuff. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and picture these words as I read them over you and get that imagery of your race, our race together, that is described here in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." This passage is a passage that's written in the first person plural. It's us and we, that we're in this race together. Now, we run this race as individuals, as couples, as families, as ministry teams and small groups and Bible studies and prayer groups. But we run this as an individual, not just along with others in the church, and yet we're not alone in this. And so this passage is a great reminder that God is a part of what's going on here at Calvary, and as we run this race together, we're in this not alone, but with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're a part of something bigger than ourselves that God is doing in our world today. And I want you to keep that in the backdrop of your mind as we talk about what God's been doing as we've been running this race over the last year. 18 months ago, we cast the Calvary 2030 vision, what God gave to our elders and pastors in terms of the direction God had for us between that point in the fall of 2022 and 2030. And as we've embarked on that journey, we want to give you updates from time to time. And so we're going to have the state of the church today as I'm going to share a little bit about that, and then we're going to look at how that can still happen going forward, what God has been doing. He wants to continue doing and bringing vision to life and using us, but it's how we run the race. And so we'll get some practical applications and some teaching from these verses in just a moment. But I'd ask you just to take that brochure, and as you just glance even at the cover where it says the state of the church of 2024, last year, we took a couple of weeks to talk about where we were as we had come out of the COVID years and some of the turmoil politically. And by the way, some of that turmoil politically is back. I don't know if you've heard that, but some of those tensions are around again. But we talked about what God was doing, and we asked you to pray and look forward to what God would continue to do in and through us. And this is a little report of where we are and what's been happening in the last year in God bringing that 2030 vision to life. And I want to, as you look at this, just remind you of a couple of things. This is an opportunity for us to celebrate the good hand of our God in what he's done, not what we've done. This isn't about Sean or about Larry DeWitt or about Calvary Community Church. This is about Jesus. And so this is a celebration of what he has done. And honestly, this just humbles me to see what God has been doing in and through us as we've been running this race together in this journey as a church family, even over the last 12 months. So it's very humbling. And I also want you to know that we know there are problems here and that we're not a perfect place. Every now and then, someone will stop me. A couple months ago, a family had moved here from back east, and they said, you know, we loved our church back east, but there were a lot of problems, and we just want to be at a church with no problems. Does this church have any problems? They asked me in the lobby. I said, oh, yeah, we got plenty of problems. And they said, really, like what? And I said, well, you're looking at one of them. I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to disappoint you. That's just the nature of being human. But we'd invite you to join this journey with us and run this race together of being followers of Jesus Christ who live and love like Jesus in our world today. And so I want you to understand the context in which I share this from our heart is this is a celebration of the good hand of God. It should humble all of us that we get to be a part of this. And we recognize that we're not perfect people, but we serve a perfect Savior who's working out who he is in and through our lives as we walk with him. If you open to the first page, you're going to see the scriptures that I just read and a little note from Pastor Brian and myself. And then you'll see this 1,000 days of shepherding. And we talked about how from 2022 to 2030, there were three 1,000-day periods. And we kind of have a focus for each of those in terms of the tone and nature and the culture we want to create here at Calvary. And this first one is one of shepherding and healing and health and strength as a body of believers in the things of the Lord and the things of Christ and his kingdom. And that's a focus that we have all the way through April of 2025, coming out of some of the tensions and divisions of the previous years. We want to make sure we're healthy in a biblical, Christ-like way. And so that's been a big part of this. And you can see some of the things that have happened in the last year. We talk about attendance and giving, and I'll get to that in a moment. We've had over 4,000 visitors come to some of our ministries and worship services. We'll talk about baptisms in a moment. And then that last one there on that page, prayer. This is so important because I think this whole brochure here that highlights the last year of God's good hand in our lives together as a church, it's because of prayer. In 2023, over 500 people committed to 1 hour of prayer each week so that every hour was covered every week so that throughout 2023, someone was praying every day, every week, every month for the entire year of 2023 for the people and ministries of Calvary. And I believe that what you see in this brochure, some of the good things God's been doing and that have been accelerating even in the last 6 months, that it's because we've gone to the Lord in prayer and poured our hearts out to Him and asked Him to work in and through us. And He has done that. So thank you to those of you who've prayed. Some say, I'm going to keep praying during that hour. Praise the Lord. Some said, are there other ways to pray? There are. One of those ways is I have some pastor's prayer partners that pray with me regularly. If you'd like to be a part of that, feel a call to prayer, reach out to my office and let us know that. And we'll connect you with Bob Brooks, who leads that. It's a vital ministry here. Prayer is so important. So what we see in this brochure comes as a result of us praying together throughout 2023. Let me share with you some of these statistics you'll see on that page and even some others from this past year. The first one is this. Weekend worship attendance is up 15%. That includes our young adults, our Saturday night, and our two Sunday morning services over the last year. That's a lot of folks leaning in. That represents a lot of those visitors that you see listed there on that page. That's a great thing. We get to minister to more people and introduce them to Jesus. And then our offerings are up by 10%. That's a great thing as well. You'll see some of the children's ministries are up and higher percentages. And somebody last night came out of the service and they said, well, there's a little gap between the growth in people and the growth in dollars. And how's that going for you? I said, well, it's always been that case in ministry. God has this lead indicator of people showing up in need and opportunities to minister to them. And we wish we had all the volunteer hours and all the dollars and all the resources to meet that challenge. But it's not all there right away, but God provides it over time. So thank you for your generosity in this last year, because you're helping us begin to tackle those needs and opportunities that are coming our way as attendance is up. And then baptisms. Baptisms were up 200% in 2023 over 2022. And that gets right to the core of people coming to Jesus, people willing to stand up and say, I'm a follower of Jesus and becoming a part of the journey with us together here at Calvary. And what a wonderful thing to celebrate, baptisms of folks, children and students and adults who are identifying with Jesus as their Savior. These are some great statistics, but these statistics represent people, lives being transformed and changed, people who are on the path to living and loving like Jesus because they've embraced Jesus as their Savior. Then let me break this down even into the next generation. Some things that have been happening with our children and our students and our special abilities ministry. In the last year, our special abilities ministry on the weekends is up 67% in attendance. Now that's children and students that have challenges, cognitive or physical challenges, and they're at all different degrees. Some integrate into ministry, some stay and are part of our special abilities wing. But in the last year, that ministry has grown 67%. Now, let me tell you, in the last 6 months, that ministry has grown over 200% in the last 6 months. What wonderful opportunities for us to come alongside families in that journey and share Jesus with them and have them share Jesus with us. In early childhood, that's birth through 4 years of age, over the last year, the attendance there is up 6%. It's up 6%. Now, in the last 6 months, 0 to 4-year-olds, that attendance is up 60% in the last 6 months. There is a momentum there. That's the only number I ever really pay attention to. I don't really care how many of you are here in the room listening to me talk. But I'll tell you what, when we grow in the area of 0 to 4-year-olds, why I focus on that age group as pastor here is because I know something about that group. They didn't drive here on their own. They came with parents. And many of them, they're so young, they're not even going to come with grandparents, right? And that means we get to speak into young families and young lives before they get complicated and knotted up with the things of this world, and get to be a part of discipling those families forward in Jesus. We get to do that together. So those numbers really do excite me and interest me, because it speaks to the overall health of who we're reaching and the opportunities God is giving us together as a church. The elementary K through fifth is up 23% over the last year. Middle school is up 15%. High school up 14%. I could give you all the 6 months that they're increasing more, but I just don't want to overwhelm you with all these different numbers, because again, these numbers represent individuals, children and students, families that we get to touch together and reach in Jesus' name. A couple of other key statistics here. Our weekday preschool, Monday through Friday, we're in our second year, completing our second year, and we'll go into the third year this fall, and we're already full for the fall. and we have maxed out all the space we have for them. That creates a challenge and an opportunity for us as we move forward. But it's a great blessing to minister to those families throughout the week. We began just some classes in Bible Institute. We'll add more teachers and more classes as time goes, but we just sort of started with my voice on weeknights teaching in a Bible Institute. We've offered three classes, and over 600 people have attended those three classes in this last year as we've introduced those. And that's, we want to help people delight in God's Word as we go forward together in our Calvary 2030 vision. What a beautiful thing that God is doing here at Calvary. Again, these numbers represent human beings for whom Jesus died, and God loves, and God wants to be in a relationship with them and be in a journey, and He's given us the honor and privilege. We ought to be humbled by that. We ought to celebrate it as we get an opportunity to together impact lives for Jesus. I want to share with you some, on the next page, or into this little brochure, you see some progress we've made in terms of our elementary facility. We've sharpened those tools in the last year, brought all of them together on the first floor. We're able to give them fresh spaces for ministry there. It's a great thing. Our preschool, as I mentioned, is doing well. Our online ministry is expanding. We began substance recovery, a very focused substance recovery ministry at the beginning of this year. They're going to add one for families and support group for families affected by drug use in their family. And this is a wonderful thing our care ministry has been doing. I mentioned the Bible Institute. These are some things that continue, and these are all a part of our Calvary 2030 vision, watching God bring vision to life in and through us together. Then there's some leadership updates there. I want to give you a couple of these. That succession plan where Pastor Brian, our teaching pastor, and I will, over the next few years, switch places, and he'll become the senior pastor, and I'll become the teaching pastor. We're well underway on that, and this year, I teach 60% of the weekends. He teaches 40, and that'll happen for a couple of years, and then we'll have that transition in days to come. Now, I want to say something about this. This transition is not about me leaving staff or retiring. I plan to be here in a different role and investing in different ways and worked with our leadership about that, and God's given me that opportunity. But I meet people like at the grocery store who say, "When's your last Sunday again? I want to be there for that." I don't know when my last Sunday is because I'm going to be here for quite some time, Lord willing. But this transition is underway, and I've been blessed by Pastor Brian's messages the last couple of weeks, and I know you have as well, and excited about what God's doing there in our 50-year history. It's important to have healthy transitions, and succession planning is critically important in maintaining the health of our church ministry together. Then in welcome and hospitality, we've added Diane Henderson to our team as our full-time volunteer coordinator, helping people know where they can serve, how they're gifted, and getting plugged in. Loretta Pena, who is on our executive team and oversees a number of ministries, has stepped in to help in this area of welcome and hospitality. We've had over 4,000 visitors in ministries and services, so it's important that we keep concentrating in this area. Sarah and Tim Smith have stepped in as part of their responsibilities on our team to speak into this area as well. And so we're looking forward to that area continuing to help people get to know us and get connected and become a part of our family. And then our young adult ministry, Pastor Michael Field, who was up here just a few moments ago, has joined us in the last couple of months and is leading our young adults ministry on Thursday night in their various ministries of small groups and other areas. Many of you know Pastor Brian Williams, who has served in that capacity and has done a wonderful job shepherding our young adults ministry. He is transitioned into an area of local engagement, into community engagement, as our pastor of community engagement. And we're trying to be more intentional even with things like our Star of Wonder, snow event, 4th of July, other ways in which we have events and engagement in the community. And Brian has a passion for that. This is an area he had reached out to us about this opportunity of some transition. He's even helping coordinate and facilitate our services behind the scenes to make sure we're ministering to our church family and into the community. And so we really appreciate both these guys. Matter of fact, Pastor Brian Williams and Pastor Michael Field grew up here at Calvary, went off into other ministries, and God has brought them back. And what a blessing that is to have folks who grew up here now serving here, even on our pastoral team. And then our pastor of online ministry, first pastor of online ministry we've ever had, Pastor Aaron Kajumba, has served as our high school ministry pastor, leading that area. He still has a heart for that area, but also expressed to us an interest and a passion He knew there are a couple thousand people that are engaging with us online weekly, and we hadn't gotten really focused on that. And we talked with him, and so he's 20 hours as our online ministry pastor, trying to connect and reach those folks and help them in their walk with Jesus. But he's also 20% in high school as well. Some of you have already seen how he's been working with Callie, our social media director, and others to create clips of our sermons and make them more accessible, and you can share them with others. And he's doing a whole bunch of stuff in connecting with folks in our online ministry. We're blessed by that. And then that means who had been the associate pastor, Pastor Drew Walton, is now the lead pastor of our high school ministry, another individual who grew up here at Calvary that God is using in our midst, and what a blessing that is. And then Pastor Stephen Millage, who has served as our elementary pastor for a number of years, has transitioned to become our pastor and leader of our special abilities ministry. Hannah Wasmund, who was up here singing a few moments ago, had served as the director there. She also has a passion for worship, and with opportunities there, she's going to be working 20 hours a week in special abilities ministry under Stephen's leadership, but she's also working 20 hours a week in our worship ministry area, and I know you've been blessed by her participation in that on the weekends. So those are a bunch, and there are other transitions, but just want to make you aware that these are transitions where folks had a passion, a heart, we had opportunities to serve, and we're so excited the way God has been working that out in the past year with some of these transitions. If you look then at what we see next, well, we want to capture more space like we did in the video you saw with the middle school, high school, and special abilities ministry, what we've done with the elementary ministry and the nurseries upstairs, looking for how can we sharpen our tools here to have an effective campus. The church is not the campus, the church is the people, but the campus becomes a tool to develop disciples and help disciples mature and grow, for us to love God more, to love God's family more, to learn to love our neighbors more as a part of our passion as a church. Improve and replace outdated technology. How many of you, your television is 25 years or older in your house? Very few of you. I don't see too many hands because technology tends to move pretty quickly. You probably don't have a 25-year-old stereo or a 25-year-old computer. We've been on this campus 25 years, and God blessed us with a sound system that has lasted, I would say it lasted probably 20 years. It's been having some struggles over the last decade or so as it has aged, and now you can't buy some of the parts for these speakers. This room has about 80 speakers that are coming at you. They can change throughout the week without us even doing anything, through vibrations from the highway to temperature changes in the room. They're very temperamental now, so that we spend a lot of time and energy working on fixing them or adjusting the sounds of different areas to mediate for the ones that aren't working. And so it's time for us in this next year to take on the challenge of the sound system in this room, which when we start to get into that, gets into some codes when it comes to lighting and some other things that we're going to be tackling. And it's a great opportunity. A couple of elders have known we've talked about this a while and recently been traveling, and they said, you know, I was at a church where actually the sound was louder but clearer. I get what you guys are saying, that it's beginning to be mushed, and some of you will think it's really loud when it's actually a lot of clashing going on in the way just over time this system has gotten worn out. And our team works really hard to make sure it works really good, but we're spending a lot of dollars and energy on something that needs to be addressed, and we hope to address that. And we hope to do it in a way that it'll advance so that it'll last another 20, 25 years and help the next generation in ministry here as well. And then there's an area here that's listed as raise our capacity for compassion. One of the things in our 2030 vision is to have an outreach center that will reach out to people in financial need and struggling. People may be struggling in terms of food and clothing, but people struggling maybe with getting a job, of getting their finances straight. Maybe they've got some areas where they're trying to minister to others, like in foster families and adoptions and other ways where we're just trying to help be a presence in the community for Jesus through a community hope center, if you will. And we've been praying about that. It's part of the 2030 vision. And we've been doing some exploring and listening to the needs in the community of other nonprofits and even what governments are struggling with locally. And as we've done that, we came across an interesting possibility that we want to share with you. We've shared it with some. It's been shared in some levels of community government and organizations. But you're familiar with the Borderline property. where in 2018, one of the most horrific events in Thousand Oaks history occurred. One of our own staff member, Noelle Sparks, was taken in that shooting. And about 6 months ago, we entered into a conversation about either buying that property or leasing it long-term and developing, I get a little emotional about this. I didn't expect this when I was planning for this, but it hit me last night and in the nine and here too. Sorry. It's gotten near and dear to my heart, the possibility that we could have a center, a hope center that would minister to people where they are and in their needs on a piece of property that's kind of known for death and sorrow and pain. And if that piece of property could be turned into a place of hope and healing in Jesus' name, what a wonderful thing that would be. Now, I share this with you with a lot of caution in the sense that the conversations with owners and what we need, what they need, isn't quite there yet. And we've had ups and downs. There have been days I would have said to you, this just isn't going to work. And then there'd be days I'd say, it looks like it's going to work. So we don't know. But I'd ask you to pray about that and that God would allow us to. That'd be a great space, but it may be God's way of showing us, okay, that's not the space, here's the space. And join us in that journey of praying about what God would have for us so we could do that. Again, you could sense my heart and how I think that piece of property particularly could be used in a wonderful way to minister to people who are hurting in our community. And then just even continue to raise the level of our hospitality. And then there's some things in the back that are specific related around our values. Say, what can I do? Can I encourage you to take this brochure, celebrate, use this as a praise prompter, use it as a way to pray for some of the needs and the challenges we have going forward and opportunities. We need more space for our preschool. We need more space for our early childhood and our special abilities ministry. We're looking at what that would mean. Pray with us. See what God has for us in the vision moving forward. Use this as a prayer prompter and a praise prompter this week. And approach it humbly, recognizing this is what God has been doing and bringing vision to life in and through us in Jesus' name. We also, at about this time of year, often bring before you a candidate that the elders are considering joining the elders as a part of the spiritual and philosophical leadership here at Calvary. The elders of Calvary meet once a month for 3 or 4 hours and look at all the different facets of our ministry. I'm the only staff member that directly answers to the elders. I am an elder, and they help with the philosophical and spiritual direction of the church. They do my annual review, appreciate the wisdom of these men and their leadership. And they, of course, answer to the Lord. And we bring a candidate from time to time before you that they've been considering, who's been meeting with them, and what we call an elder intern sitting in, to get a sense if that's what God would have for that individual, if they'd be a fit for the elders. And one candidate is being brought to you this week and next week, and we would love your input if you know him, Bill West. Bill and Christine have been a part of Calvary since 2012, and Bill's been meeting with us, expressing his voice in there, and now is the time, they believe, to present his name before you to get your input. And watch this video of Bill and Christine West and their story.
Hi, we're Bill and Christine West, and we have been going to Calvary since 2012.
This year it'll be 35 years that we've been married, so we're celebrating.
We have a daughter, Lindsay, who's 31, a son, Nick, who is 29 and married to Emily, and Matt, who's 24 and married to Brooke. My faith journey has been a long brick-by-brick journey. I grew up here in Westlake Village. Didn't really have a strong faith as a child. Went off to school, shortly after school, met Christine, and we just felt a calling back to church. And we started attending when Lindsay was just a baby, and the Lord just kept calling me. The incredible growth that's taken place over the years has just been fantastic for both of us, and we've been on this journey together.
We were both baptized here in 2015, and it's just been wonderful. We had faith when we were younger, but to grow in that faith and just to be a part of this amazing church where it's Bible believing, we love all the programs here. Most of our friends, you know, that we hang out with are from here. So it's just been a wonderful experience to attend Calvary and to grow.
I'm incredibly humbled. it is an incredibly responsible position, and that too, much is given, much is expected. And I feel that being given this responsibility really humbles me because I fear the Lord, and I want to make sure that I'm following His path for my life. But when I think more and more about that, I just feel the peace of God telling me to take that next step and move forward.
Welcome, Bill and Christine West, with me here. Thank you guys for being here this morning, and we love you. And want to just let you know that the elders seek input so that we know that in the Calvary family and in the community, Bill has a reputation that represents Jesus well. There are qualifications for elders. If you scan the QR code on your seat or the one on the screen, it'll take you to a landing page where you can choose that elder input. And there you'll see scriptures listed that have the qualifications of an elder. And you can also give input as to if you know Bill, you can share what you know. It helps the elders determine if they should continue this journey with him. And as the input comes in, if it's helpful and positive, then they can continue that journey forward. You can also pick up a piece of paper. If you're not digital and you don't want to scan that, but you want to give input, there are papers at the Bible carts where you can give input. Also list those scriptures that speak of the biblical qualifications of an elder in a local church. And we value your input. If you have other names you'd like to share, you can also go to those, the digital or the paper, and share names for us to consider in the future. That's extremely helpful to the elder board as well. Well, thank you again for being here. And Bill, you've been sitting in for a couple of months now, I think 5 or 6 months with the elders. And they're in that space now of determining whether it's the Lord's will to invite you to join them, and you're in that space as well. How have these few months been sitting in monthly with them, and what are your thoughts kind of going forward here?
Well, it's been an incredible blessing and a privilege to be part of the Elder Board as an intern over these last 6 months. Just an incredible group of godly individuals, very humble in heart and serving the Lord and looking to the Lord for their guidance every day. And that's just an incredible experience to be part of that. And I'm humbled to be considered for the elder position. And I know there's tremendous responsibility associated with that. But I just continue to pray to the Lord each and every day, and He just gives me peace over it. And just look forward to the continuing journey serving Him.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. And I know they've enjoyed having you sit in. Christine, you guys have been here a couple of years now. What are some of the ministries you and your family have been a part of over the course of the last several years?
Well, I know if you've done the State of the Church, and it's been here 25 years. We started here 12 and a half years ago, so right at midpoint. And we've been so privileged and blessed by being a part of this church. And I think when you're nudged to serve, it's because you've been blessed. And so we've served in high school ministries, in a small group ministry, women's ministries. Actually got to go to Uganda and meet the Dongo family and one of our children that we've sponsored through an outreach program that is involved with Calvary too. So it's been beautiful. It just feels like home.
Well, I know you both have been a blessing in all those various ways in which you've served. And again, we'd love to get your input. That's helpful to us. We'll ask for input again next week, and then the elders will come to that decision. We'll let you know when that decision has taken place. But can I just ask you to extend a hand? Let's pray for Bill and Christine, for the West, and for our elders and our leadership. Father, I know personally what the elder board here means to me and to how they help guide and oversee my role as senior pastor, and I pray you would bless those who serve on our elder board. I thank you for Bill and his voice there these last several months, and it has seemed to the elders and to him that this is just the right fit for us moving forward as we anticipate what you're going to do in the future. We need godly leaders like Bill, and I pray that folks would give us input that would be helpful in that decision. Thank you for Bill and Christine and the ways they've plugged in and served, and just what a joy they are to so many of us who know them here, and what a special part of the church family they are. Bless them, we pray too, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you both
Thank
very
you.
Much. Thank you. Thank you, guys. So now, as you think about where we are as a church together, even where we're going and what God has for us still in the 2030 vision, I'm on the edge of my seat anticipating what God's going to do. But I know that I've got a responsibility in this. You've got a responsibility in this. What does it look like if we're going to run that race together? What does it look like in terms of my part and your part in the Christian life and in this race? I think Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 gives us some clear answers to that. In verse 1, we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." Who are the witnesses? Who are these people? These are the people, if you picture the setting, this is this runner running a race. I, as the follower of Christ, you are next to me as we run this race, but I, as a follower of Christ, am in this race, and the stands are filled with people who are cheering us on. Who are those people? Well, we get a glimpse of those people in chapter 11 as you get all these Old Testament saints listed by faith, by faith. They went through their own journey with God and for God. They look forward to Jesus. We look back at Christ and what he's done. They were looking forward to the promised Messiah, and they were faithful to God. Men and women listed in Hebrews 11, it says they look forward to the promise, and now they have their reward perfect in him. And they are there as a part of the stands. They're the ones cheering us on. I don't think it's just limited to the Old Testament saints. I think it's also the New Testament saints, the apostles. It's the church over the centuries. It's people even who've been a part of Calvary over these last 50 years of Calvary's history, even the last 25 years in this building. Some people who've been critical in what God's doing here at Calvary have gone to be with Jesus. And the stands are filled with those who've gone before us, cheering us on. They know the challenge. They know the reward. And they're cheering us on in the Lord. So one of the first things from this passage I think we have to grab a hold of is this idea that we're in a pursuit of something. We're being cheered on in this pursuit. Our greatest pursuit is Christ and his kingdom. At the focus of this in verse 1, it ends with, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're in pursuit of Christ and his kingdom, his values, which are countercultural to the ways of this world. We're in pursuit of Christ and his kingdom as the followers of Jesus. Our greatest pursuit is Christ and his kingdom. Our greatest mission is making disciples of Christ and his kingdom. We're saying, follow me as I follow Jesus, and we learn the way of Jesus that's different than the power structure of this world, the voices and agendas of this world. It's radically different and distinct. We're on this mission together in this race. We have to understand that we must run this race together for Christ and his kingdom and do it the Jesus way, not the Sean way, not the Larry way, not the Brian way, not the Calvary way, the Jesus way. See, he has already completed this journey. He is the one who is the pioneer, and he is the one who has finished, completed. He's the perfecter of this journey. He not only came to die for us so we could be saved, but he came to show us the example of how we live and how we change this world one life at a time as people come to Christ. And we must do this the Jesus way. And I think Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 tells us some key things for us individually as we run this race. The first one is, keep your ears open to the faithful voices cheering you on. We're surrounded by these great voices cheering us on. Keep your ears open to the faithful voices. Right now, I don't know if you know, but it's a political season again. There are political voices. There's online stuff. There's TV stuff. There's talk radio. There are cable channels. There's a lot of good stuff out there. And I believe we have a right and responsibility to vote from a world conscience, from a biblical worldview, and a conscience that represents the conscience of Christ. I've already completed my ballot. Drop it in the mail. For the primary here this week, and I think that's important. But the way Jesus said we change the world is not by gaining power, it's actually by serving. It's a whole different way. And we've got to hear the cheering voices, not just the loud voices of our culture and our day. We got to hear the voices of those who have walked with God, they've served God, they've pursued what God had for them, and we need to listen to those voices. Secondly, we need to keep our lives free from the many distractions that are holding us back. Keep your life free from the many distractions that are holding you back. The focus of this passage is that we're to run this race with Jesus at the center of our priorities and our vision. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus. So, then we've got to get rid of anything that distracts or put it in its proper place. Sometimes even the good stuff, our marriage, our career, our portfolio, our church, even good things, if they get that place of prominence rather than Jesus, they begin to hinder us, as the passage says. And then there are the bad things, sin itself, that can trip us up. We got to keep Jesus as the priority in our lives, and then all things will fall in place. That doesn't mean our lives will be perfect, but we'll be able to deal with those things, and we'll be able to shine for Jesus in his kingdom as we do. But we've got to make sure our lives are free from the distractions, the sins that entangle us so easily and trip us up. Maybe for some of you, in running this race, you need to confess some sins, repent of it, and move forward in God's righteousness. Maybe you need to make some relationships right. Keep your life free from many distractions that are holding you back. Thirdly, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you know me, I like parallel points. By the way, if you're trying to follow along and to take note, I decided after last night I should not include all the minor points that I had underneath. So you can find in a filled-in version with all the subpoints. I said it was best for us just to keep focus on these three main points. Keep your ears open to the faithful voices cheering you on. Keep your life free from any of the distractions that would hold you back. And then keep your eyes on Jesus. I really wanted to end with a preposition and right before that a word with ing. But I said, don't make it complicated, Sean. In the end, it's about keeping your eyes on Jesus because he's been there, done that. He's lived the life. How did he do that? Well, just think about how he left heaven's glory. He didn't come here. He wasn't born on a throne. He was born in a manger. He didn't come here to gain influence and power in the power structures of the culture and get prominence and control. And he didn't do any of that. And our world says that's the only way you can make change. That's the only way you can change the world. Jesus came and in humility served and loved and cared for people, lived a life of holiness and distinction, and people were drawn to that. And when he sent 12 out and told them to go and make disciples, that as they did that, within just a couple centuries, they turned the world upside down, and we think, oh, wow, we can't wait a couple centuries. Our world is in real need. We got to do something now. We got to grab power. We got to do something. You want long-term, lasting change in this world? It's about doing it the Jesus way. One life at a time, and as that life has changed, and that family's changed, that home has changed, and then that neighborhood has changed, that community has changed, that city has changed, that county has changed, that state has changed, that nation has changed, that world has changed, and it happens as we unleash his priorities and his kingdom values, not the values of this world. How did he leave heaven's glory as God the Son and walk among us? Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. We're going to live the Jesus way. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. If you suffer for doing good, he's going to say, we're going to hear from Peter how we deal with the opposition that's mentioned in verse 3. But notice, he humbled himself. He became obedient to God. He himself came to serve, to make a difference. And let me just tell you, if you haven't come to Jesus, the first way in which you get your eyes on Jesus is you understand that he loves you, he died for you, was buried, and was raised for you. And you come to that place where you understand Jesus is the only way to a right relationship with God, and you rest your faith and your destiny in him and what he's done for you. If I can help you, I'll be in the lobby. Our care team moved down front. You can speak to a Christian friend, but make sure you've turned your eyes on Jesus for who he is, the one who loved you and came for you and died on the cross for you. Even in Hebrews 12, it talks about it was a shameful death. Roman citizens couldn't die by crucifixion because it was considered a lowly, humiliating way to die. But Jesus took the shame and guilt for us so we could have a relationship with him and his Father forever. And as soon as we put our faith in Jesus, that race begins for us. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus, the one who in humility came and served and lived in obedience to God. We read in this that he endured that cross. It was the joy that was set before him. We read in chapter 12, verse 2 of Hebrews. Then he sat down at the right hand of God. He completed his mission. He did what he was supposed to do, and his race was complete. Verse 3 says, consider him. Look at him. Pay attention to him. Mark him as the one, as your example. Live the Jesus way, the one who endured such opposition. Three times the word endured is used in this passage. Each time it speaks of an endurance under pressure. It's not emphasizing over time, it's under pressure. And it's saying Jesus had to endure. He endured the cross. He endured the rejection of other people. Sometimes when people hear us talk about to live and love like Jesus, they'll stop me and they say, oh, I just love that. Such a warm concept, to live and love like Jesus. Such a beautiful thing. And when I hear them getting really caught up in how beautiful and simple and how they really like it, then I say, kind of play the devil's advocate. I say, well, you know, when Jesus lived and loved like Jesus, he got killed for it. Ooh, maybe that's not so beautiful then. I don't know if I like that. Jesus said, if we live his way, there's going to be opposition because it's different than the priorities and values of this world. It's a whole different approach to how you change the world and how you change lives and how you bring his kingdom. We consider him who endured opposition from sinners. Why? So you won't grow weary and lose heart. We get our eyes on Jesus. We hear the cheering voices of the faithful before us. We move forward in faith in what God has for us. 1 Peter describes the Jesus way even in how he dealt with opposition. 1 Peter 2:20, if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you, for God called you to do good even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who already judges fairly. This is the Jesus way. It's radically different, but it is the way that lasting, long-term change happens in our world as his kingdom spreads one life at a time as we make disciples and pursue Christ and his kingdom in our race. As we move forward together in what God has for us, all of us in this race together, you're not alone, but we've got to hear and keep our ears open to the faithful voice of those cheering us on. We've got to keep our lives free of the distractions that would hold us back, good, bad, or ugly. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on him and follow his example. You know, this journey, I don't know how long my journey will be. So far, it's been 57 years. Some of you are at different stages in your journey in terms of number of years. The last few months here at Calvary, we've seen two of our church families step into eternity and finish their races. First one I want to tell you about was a little girl named Kira, age 7. Kira was born with some physical challenges, and she and her family got into our church family about age 2 for her, and they got into the special abilities ministry we've loved on Kira. She wasn't able to walk till toward the very end of her life. Her body was pretty small because of the challenges. She couldn't speak. She was nonverbal, but she communicated a lot. And when in December she died in her sleep, stepped into the presence of Jesus, she left a pretty heavy legacy here. It says 3 siblings. This is a picture of Kira with her siblings, Bryce and Malia and Maddox. And there she is with them. She had this beautiful smile, but when I was at the memorial, I heard a lot of people talk about not only her smile, but her hugs. She had these infectious hugs. And whether it was people from the school or from her family or from our church or from the community, at her memorial earlier in January, people celebrated how much her life had impacted their lives, how deeply they've been impacted. Even one of our own, Lori Hickman, who had volunteered to work in the special abilities ministry, the daughter of one of our founding families, the Parks, Larry and Sally Parks, who were part of the founding of Calvary 50 years ago. Lori has been a part of the church, and she leaned into this ministry. This little girl got knitted in her heart. She became a grandma because their grandparents were at a distance, and so Lori became the grandma in their family and for Kira, and just had a special heart for her. Didn't have her own children, had wonderful nieces and nephews, but Kira became a special part of her life. And when you talk to people like Lori and others, they'll say, this little life that was lived for 7 years, one thing I concluded at the memorial, some people don't leave a legacy in 7 decades that this little girl left without speaking a word to anyone in 7 years. And Kira is now a part of those faithful voices cheering us on. She's left a legacy that will impact lives for years to come. 7 years, but a lasting legacy for Jesus. Then there's Barney Leone. Many of you may know Barney. He's been a part of the Calvary family for years. Stepped into the presence of Jesus last Monday at the age of 99. This year he would have been 100. And Barney has been a wonderful part of our church, been in the lobby. Many of you have met him. He's shown you pictures from World War II. He's a World War II vet who proudly went to events to celebrate what he'd been a part of in fighting for our country and for our freedom in World War II. Barney, here's a picture of Barney from then when he was a sailor in the Navy during World War II. Some of you may know some of Barney's family that attend Calvary here. His daughter Ruth Ann and her husband Rick are part of Calvary, and Rick's a part of our staff. And their daughter Gina, Pastor Gina Spivey, is our family ministries pastor, and Barney was her grandpa, and her husband Dennis and their kids Peyton and Dominic. Barney was a wonderful part of their family as a family. And Barney, just about 20 years ago, saw his wife Phyllis of over 50 years step into the presence of Jesus. And so he's been walking this journey for some time without his wife, but surrounded by so many others. And Barney actually served for over 30 years as a senior pastor in churches in New York and Ohio, and served those churches faithfully and kept telling people about Jesus. His life was about pointing people to Jesus. And throughout those 99 years, he pointed a lot of people to the Savior. And Barney preached the gospel faithfully and communicated Jesus faithfully. We're going to have a celebration of his life here in this room next Sunday, March 10th at 3 o'clock. You're welcome to come celebrate this World War II veteran, but even more importantly, this follower of Jesus who's been pointing people to Jesus for 99 years and leaves a lasting legacy. He too is now a part of those witnesses, cheering us on to be faithful in the journey. Think of these two lives. 7 years, a little girl who was nonverbal, but leaves a lasting impact and legacy. A 99-year-old man who for decades poured into others and leaves a legacy. Are you running your race well? You're pointing people to Jesus? Will your life leave a legacy for his kingdom when your race is done? We need to be in this journey together. We need to focus on the way God wants us to live this life and run this race. Are you running the race well? Are you running the race well? Are you listening to the faithful voices cheering you on? Are you setting aside in your life all the things that would hold you back, anything that would hold you back? Are you keeping your eyes on Jesus? Our world needs us as a church collectively together in this 2030 vision. And for us as individuals, our world needs us to live our lives the Jesus way.